It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
How about a nice, shiny budget?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. President Barack Obama will be on Capitol Hill today to rally support for his budget again. His spending plan faces skepticism from both sides of the aisle. Last night, the president argued his case during a primetime news conference. From our Washington bureau, Tamara Keith has more.
President Obama is in the position of salesman after the Congressional Budget Office estimated his spending plan would produce more than $10 trillion in red ink over the next decade. Some moderate Democrats and members of the GOP are urging a pullback on some of the president's most ambitious agenda items, like new climate change policies and health care reform. But President Obama last night insisted his budget plan is inseparable from the nation's economic recovery.
Here's what I do know. If we don't tackle energy, if we don't improve our education system, if we don't drive down the costs of health care, if we're not making serious investments in science and technology and our infrastructure, then we won't grow 2.6%. We won't grow 2.2%. We won't grow.
Both the House and the Senate are in the process of shaping their own budget bills, which will guide spending and policy decisions over the coming months. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
The Dow dropped 115 points yesterday, or 1.5%, to close at 7,660. The Nasdaq and S&P slid too. Major markets in Asia were mostly lower. Same thing right now in Europe. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is visiting Mexico today for 2 days of talks. As Dan Gretsch reports from the America's Desk at WLRN, she's walking into a simmering trade war.
The U.S. promised back in 1995 to allow Mexican trucks to haul cargo into the U.S. In 2007, the Bush administration launched a pilot program allowing 100 Mexican trucks into the country. But earlier this month, the Obama administration ended that program. Economist Sidney Weintraub is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The U.S. consciously and deliberately violated an agreement it signed.
In response, Mexico imposed tariffs last week on 90 U.S. products, including cherries, dog food, and toilet paper. The tariff affects more than $2 billion in trade and hits exporters in 40 states. Eric Farnsworth is with the Council of the Americas.
The Mexicans have made very clear that the next move has to be from the United States because it's the United States that didn't implement the provisions of NAFTA like we said we would.
This dispute won't be resolved today. Secretary of State Clinton doesn't have the authority to fix a trade war. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
This could be a blockbuster for Blockbuster. The company plans to rent and sell movies and TV shows through TiVo. The deal, expected to be announced today, is another move to try to catch up to Netflix. The rival already offers free instant streaming on TiVo and other devices. But Blockbuster hopes to get ahead by selling new releases ahead of pay-per-view. And of course, Blockbuster will sell TiVo boxes in thousands of its stores.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing, ConstantContact.com.
Wall Street ended with losses yesterday after that huge rally Monday, but some analysts say that's to be expected. There's still a lot of fear out there. But despite that, there is some genuine optimism about the government's plan to buy toxic assets and get them off of bank balance sheets. That is, depending on who you ask. LA Times business columnist David Lazarus joins us now. David, I have a feeling you're not one of those optimists, at least when it comes to this.
I've got a couple of quibbles, I guess, and my first is virtually every report in the media refers to toxic assets. And when I hear that, it's almost like we're saying that all these banks and financial institutions bought a pig in a poke. And also, look at the Obama administration calling them legacy assets, as if crazy old Uncle Willie sold you a house with termites and now it's a big problem. It's not a legacy here. Okay, these assets, they're fine.
Well, they were fine.
By fine, what I mean is the assets are still exactly what they were at the beginning, and that is a security, something that you buy and sell. And the notion that the asset has suddenly turned toxic and is somehow infecting like a cancer all of Wall Street strikes me as a misnomer. Really, what we're talking about here are mortgage companies that did not do their due diligence and gave money to people who had no ability to pay it back. Then we're talking about Wall Street heavyweights that bought the securitized versions of these loans without, again, doing any due diligence. And now they're in deep over their heads after making all of these bad decisions. And we're saying it's the assets that are the problem.
All right. So what would you call the assets?
I'm glad you asked me. I would call them the boneheaded loan, irresponsible mortgage package, or blimp.
I was just trying to figure that out.
Thank you.
Okay.
Blimp. And the way to deal with a blimp? You let out all the hot air.
Well, tell me this. If you could, for a day, change your name to Tim Geithner, what would you do right now?
I think one thing I would do is to step right up and say, all this lip service we've been paying to regulatory changes, here's what we're talking about. And what we're talking about specifically is far greater transparency in the marketplace.
But how do you create that?
How do you create that? It's reporting requirements, very clear reporting requirements and very regular reporting requirements, and also consequences that come, severe consequences, when those reporting requirements are not met. Obviously, I'm simplifying very grossly, but at the same time, this is the culture that needs to come into place, a culture of disclosure as opposed to a culture of denial.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, such a pleasure.
Thank you.
How would you rename toxic assets? Let us know by going to marketplace.org, clicking on contact and writing us a note. And you can also guess how much a urinal from Yankee Stadium is worth, or not. I'll tell you this. We're hearing the Yankees have agreed to pay New York City $10 million for seats, foul poles, urinals, ticket booths, and a bunch of other memorabilia from the old stadium. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.